Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God, and we're talking about the Spirit of God and the Spirit that is not of God. And that's really a shocker for most people to even pursue at all, because most people have not been pursuing the Spirit of God. They've been pursuing spirits that are less than God, false spirits, evil spirits. How do they get into it? They get into us mostly by trauma, and the trauma of sin. And it may not even be our sin. It's a trauma of sin against us, against our being. We come into the world in a nature of sin, in a nature of imperfection. Sin, you know, we often think sin, they say, well, what sin could a little baby commit? Well, the sin is not the event. You know, we commit adultery. We commit fornication. We murder. We rob, we steal. We say, oh, he stole, therefore he sinned. Sin is turning our back on God. That's what sin is. Sin is not going to the light. Sin is eating of the tree of knowledge, thinking you can decide things for yourself. You can figure it out for yourself. That's sin. What that brings about is adultery and murder and stealing and coveting. All those things come about because you're not eating of the tree of life. You're not receiving the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And you start doing these things. And then you start doing other things. You know, you start, you know, men laying with men and women perverting the natural use of their bodies for some other purpose. And you are given over to a reprobate mind, and you start thinking, oh, I can do this, or I can do that, and that's okay. And then you start combing through the Bible and saying, well, let's see, I can do this because they did that in the Bible once. No matter the fact that it destroyed lives and ruined things and made a mess of everything, but they did it in the Bible, so I should be able to do it. And you start twisting the words of the Bible to fit what you want to believe is true, but what you want to believe is true is not even your idea anymore, because you have little evil spirits whispering in your ears, because you have people that told you certain things, and what happens is you're traumatized, you're molested as a child, you're brutalized by the world in some form or another. By someone that should have loved you, should have cared about you, naturally, you know, like husband and wife, and mother and father. They come together bound by love. That's the binding. That's when your holy matrimony is when you're bound by love alone. Not by contract, but by love alone. And when I say love, I mean the love of God. The love that God has that gave life. The love that you have for one another is a life-giving love. You see, there's other loves out there that are not givers of life, but devourers of life. You know, the love, like I've said before, of a cat for birds. And my cat loves birds. He just loves them. He just eats them up. And he better stay out of the pigeon cage. But the fact is by his nature, he loves birds. But he loves them in a way that he devours them. And a lot of people love each other, but they love in a way that they devour one another. They actually draw one another into an evil state of weakness and helplessness. And they destroy each other with their love. They either are giving license to evil, or they are the evil themselves. And they call upon the other to give them license. They seduce. They mesmerize. They tempt. They weaken. They suck the life out of others because they're beasts. They have, but is that individual a beast, or is a beast spirit living in that individual, influencing that, in, or living, let's put it this way, living through that individual? You see, that's what evil wants, dominion in this world. It's from the beginning. Evil was cast out of heaven. They want dominion in this world, but they have, God has given dominion in this world to man, to Adam, to the Adama, that he breathed life into. They have been given dominion, and they have come down from generation to generation. The kingdom of God is from generation to generation. So what evil wants to do is destroy the generations of men. And that's what it does every day, by destroying the family. It turns the family into something that the family was never meant to be. They pervert the natural use of the woman to gratify the man, not to give life. And this is pervasive throughout societies all over the world, because men are in a fallen state. But women have also fallen because they did not admit the truth and they allowed this to take place. But when they allow that to take place, they allow the man to become more of a brute. And of course, he can't be too obvious, so he paints little niceties on his life. But he is actually devouring the woman. He's devouring his own children. He is delivering his own children onto the altars of Moloch, because he is giving them over to the same spirit that his parents gave him over to. And he is the kingdom of hell from generation to generation, the kingdom of Satan from generation to generation, because he passes on to the next generation that which he has become. And how has he become that? You are created in the image of God. You got a liver. Does God have a liver? You have a kidney. Does God have a kidney? What is a liver? It's a filter. It actually produces things and filters things out and feeds parts of your body to create more blood cells, which are born in your bones. And the kidney is also a filter, but it's a different kind of filter. And the stomach actually filters some things out, and the skin filters some things out. Some things go out in the drought, as Christ says. Does God have all that going on in him? I mean, we were made in his image. How close of an image is it? But God is spirit. He wouldn't need all those things, but those things are reflections of what you are in the spirit, which is why in the Hebrew language, to honor thy father and thy mother, the word honor there is the same word for liver. To give control of a sacrifice to someone else for the purposes of God is called kidney, reins of control. Control, something you control something with, is called a kidney. That's why it was saying in the previous program that we had on this subject, it talks about the spirit of man as a candle of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly. And of course, we can go into a study as to what that word belly actually means in the Hebrew. And the Hebrew is really interesting to go into, but we just don't have time for it. So the point is that everything in your body is related to your spiritual existence. And when you deny the truth about the fact that you hated your mother because she abandoned you, and you feel guilty about hating your mother because she abandoned you or neglected you or allowed somebody else to injure you or molest you, when you hate your mother because of that, you feel guilty because you don't want to hate your mother. And so you have to put all that hate and anger and judgment. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Why? Because when you judge with hate, I'm not saying discern. I mean, it's one thing to see, you know, my mom didn't do right. But it's another thing to hate. to judge as if you are God. And that makes you feel guilty. So you don't want that. That's painful. The whole thing is painful. Everything that happened was painful. So you put that away in a part of your mind, in a part of your body. You just don't look at that anymore. You're not going in that room. You put that in your closet, somewhere in the temple of the Holy Spirit, somewhere in your body. You put that in a closet, in a part of your mind, in a part of your being. And you don't look at that anymore because you don't want to see that. It hurts too much. It makes you weep if you even get near it. It makes you weep like a child. So you don't want to go near that. So that becomes a little compartment inside your being that you don't look. You don't bring the candle of God, the candle of the Lord. You don't bring light in that room, because in order to do that, you have to see the truth about what you've done. You're a part in the wickedness and evil of the whole world. You're a part in your life. So you won't look at that. You won't go searching in the belly for that room. You'll skip that room. You'll just walk right by that room. You're not going in there. And evil lives in there, speaks in there, whispers in there, influences your mind and your thought. And he can bring a thought up in your mind that is absolutely contrary to what you believe over here, and you will not even see that you have conflicting ideas in your mind at the same time. And this will, and as you go about in life, it will begin to bring in cancers and everything else out of that same dark area. You will have, you know, if you are eating up people, it will come out in the organs of your body that are a part of eating up, you know, colon cancer, stomach cancer, mouth cancer. You will rot away inside because you're not bringing life into that part of your existence. Because you won't admit you've become the beast, because the spirit of the beast dwelleth in you, not the spirit of God. Now somewhere in there you exist as an individual, and there could be huge different degrees of this. I mean, really pretty decent people can have a degree of some area of their life they don't want to see the truth. And you have to repent of that and start seeing the truth. And that's really what meditation was all about in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is to go and see the truth. Now, there's all kinds of Eastern meditations out there, and there's modern meditations, and there's exercises, transcendentalism, and endless repetition. I mean, when people say the rosary, that's the mantra-type repetition. But that's not taking the candle of God into your heart. That's actually noise. I mean, you listen to country western, you listen to gospel, and you play that noise in your head over and over again. Why? And that's the answer, is in the why. Why do you do it? It's not wrong to listen to music. It's not wrong to be in a silent place. It's not wrong to contemplate evil and righteousness in your own life and unrighteousness. It's not wrong. What's wrong is the intent. And when your intent is to reject God, it doesn't matter what prayers you say or what meditation you do or what exercise you do or what good works you do, it's not going to do you any good. But when you want to accept God, real God, the whole light, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, then a different process begins to take place. You begin to be filled, but you will come face to face with aspects of your own being, your own selfishness, your own vanity, your own spirit of jealousy, your own spirit of envy, your own spirit of hate and judgment. And see, things like coming together in a congregation of record and starting to forgive one another, the wedding feast brings both good and bad to it. We are told to go out and bring in both good and bad into our congregation. Should we bring even bad people into our congregation if that's where the wedding feast is taking place? Yes. But you will challenge those bad to become good. If you are truly becoming good, if you're putting on your righteousness by rulemaking, by setting up patterns of behavior that everybody has to follow. And of course there are patterns of behavior everybody should follow. But they have to follow them because they are led by the Holy Spirit. Not because they put it on from the outside like whited sepulchers tried. Where we're going to say, okay, it's good to take care of the poor, so you have to take care of the poor, you have to give in. Now, we're in a congregation of record, we don't have a police force to force you to contribute. We can do it through other ways. We can, like, reject you. We can give you the dirty look. We can make you feel bad that you're not doing it. And then you'll do it so that we don't make you feel bad. And the whole spirit of the world has already begun to happen in our congregation. But when we really move from the Spirit of Christ, the light exposes it. That's all we have to do is bring the light in the room. You don't even need bring in words because it is a spiritual salvation that you're bringing to your congregation. Almost nobody can do that. But those who are beginning to learn, they may become part of that bride of Christ. There's a lot of people who think they're a part of the bride of Christ now. And like I said, that many of the people who think they're a part of the bride of Christ now aren't even coming to the wedding feast. They're not putting on the wedding garments. And what happens when he says you bring both good and bad to the wedding feast? Because the ones that should come aren't coming. Those are all the people in the Orthodox religions and churches who aren't doing anything that Christ said, but they believe. But the ones who actually come and start changing, start moving according to the spirit of righteousness, because the spirit of burning faith is actually growing in them. In Isaiah 4:4 it says, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Isaiah 11:2, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge of the fear of the Lord, the respect of the Lord, the love of the Lord, and the ways of the Lord. Really, the ways of the Lord. Then the idea of taking care of the widows and orphans and needy of your society through faith, hope, and charity is just automatic. It's just natural. It's not even difficult to give. It's difficult not to give. And the giving will be done in a righteous way. But if the Lord is not in you, then you have all this conflict. And that conflict is coming from those places in your body, in your spirit, in your mind, that you will not go, you will not look at, and you will see the fruits of that. You will see, this is why marriages are breaking down all over. This is what was happening in Rome, almost total cessation of marriage. And Rome was a big one for one man, one wife, at one time in their history. By the time they got to the end, men were having multiple wives at different times, one after another. And then they got to the point where they didn't even bother getting married. They just started having relations. And that was because a spirit of the beast had found a home in them, because they would not bring the light of truth, of Christ, of righteousness, into every aspect of their being. And so they weren't bearing fruit anymore. Orphans were rampant in Rome. Children were not. It used to have a custom when a child was born, he was brought to his father and laid at the feet of his father, and the father picked him up. If the father didn't pick him up, the child had no inheritance from that father. But neither did what the child inherit belong to the father, because the father did not pick up the child. He did not say son, daughter. And therefore, it was not his. And the child had no inheritance, but neither did the father have any right to the child. Or what was the child's? That is long range. The kingdom of heaven is from generation to generation, and a father does not respect his generation. Where does that come from? That comes from the spirit of Satan. Satan doesn't want you to carry the kingdom from generation to generation. He wants to break those generations. He wants to divide fathers from sons and fathers from daughters and mothers from husbands. And he wants to divide you all. And he's doing a really good job. That's why divorce is so rampant in the world today, is because fathers haven't been fathers and mothers haven't been mothers. They don't even know what that means. And they don't know because they have let in the spirit of evil into their hearts because they will not forgive those who brutalize them, who traumatize them, because they would rather judge them. And they use everything from the Bhagavad Gita to the Bible itself to justify themselves. Even atheism has become a religion of justification. Everybody wants to justify themselves. Who wants to be righteous? Who wants to admit they have become the beast? Everybody's worried about the beast, the system of the beast, the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is the lack of faith. And the lack of faith is your unwillingness to take a candle into your belly and see what's living there, into your heart and see what is speaking to you, what is leading you down a road of unrighteousness, a path of iniquity, a way of death. You have to repent of that and be willing to turn back to the light and see yourselves as you really are. The problem in the world today is not government. It's the way in which you govern yourselves. You are not coming together because you love one another. You don't even love yourselves in many cases. Because if you truly loved yourself, you would see the truth about yourself so you could fix it. I mean, if you had a knife sticking in your leg, you know, you ever hit your thumb with a hammer and you didn't want to look at it because you knew that thumbnail was blistering up underneath and it was going to be painful and you didn't want to see it. But you have to look. Eventually, you have to look and see it and feel it and suffer with it. You can't hide forever. And, you know, people hide behind the Bible more than almost any other book in the world. They hide behind their private interpretation of the Bible. Is the Bible evil? No. Is the Bible good? No, it is not. You are either good or evil. The Bible's making no choices of right and wrong. The Bible is a book. It's a gift. It can be a thing that works great good in your life when you look at it with the eyes of Christ. But if you look at it with the eyes of the beast, you can use it to justify all kinds of wickedness. Is it the Bible's fault? No, it's your fault. It's the same with governments. You can use those governments for good, or you can use those governments for evil. God is doing it. God told you that if you chose to elect somebody who could exercise authority, a king, a ruler, president, prime minister, doesn't matter, that that was a rejection of God. But he told you if you do that, you should have this constitution that you write down that says that he will do nothing to return you to the bondage of Egypt. You failed to do that. Someone was saying, oh, we should have a national oath that everybody has to take to uphold the Constitution. They have no idea what they're talking about. They are completely ignorant. You have to take an oath. Jesus says, stop the taking of oaths. Anything more than yes for yes and no for no cometh of evil. By taking that oath today under the conditions that U.S. citizens live, which, of course, it's already assumed that they have taken that oath. He doesn't know that. They are saying that we will abide by the contracts, constructive contracts that we have made. And, of course, you should, and you are going to be held to it anyway. He doesn't even know what he's saying, but an extra oath to that seals you in forever. There is no escape. You will go down with the ship. You are bound and chained to it by the words of your own mouth. And what binds you today? People, you know, they want to uphold the Constitution. The Constitution says the government cannot impair your power to contract. That's why you're dragged into administrative courts, because of your contracts. And they say, oh, well, we didn't have full disclosure. Well, either you're a thief, you're a covetous thief, or you have made a contract. Either way, they got you. And you are bound because you have made covenants with them. You said, if you give me free education, I will serve you. If you give me health care, I will serve you. If you take from my neighbor, you can also take from me. And this is the deal. You've made the deal. You are bound in a system of iniquity, a bestial system that devours your neighbor and your neighbor's children and eats the flesh of their arm, as it talks about in the Bible. You have already done that. And now you want to take an oath that you will never leave it? You will bind yourself forever in that? And of course, that's probably coming. That you will take this oath or they will kill you. But you've already killed your relationship with God because you've gone whoring after these other gods. That you say, oh dear God in government, will you take from my neighbor so that I will be secure? And you think that's not covetousness? It is. You're not living by faith, you're not living by hope, and you're not living by charity. As I said in Isaiah 11:2, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. In Isaiah 19:3, it says, and the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof. What is Egypt? Egypt is the word for bondage. You have bound your neighbor in a system where they have to pay for your education, your health care, your welfare. And that spirit of bondage that has been your salvation, your security, will fail. Therefore, and they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers and to them that have familiar spirits and to the wizards. And that's exactly what's happening. And those familiar spirits are often living and dwelling and speaking through those that have been traumatized by the wickedness of the world or evil itself. Through their parents, through their guardians, through their whatever. And now it is when they speak, it is that familiar spirit that speaketh through them. And they charm you, and they deceive you, and they lull you, and they often wear pastor's clothes and garments, and they hold the Bible up, and they say, oh, believe. Or, what does this mean? Or I'm looking for this, but they are not looking. Until they look within their own belly, within their own being, within themselves, and clean out their own house. They will speak with the mouth of familiar spirits and wizards, and they will charm people into sin. They need to repent. I rebuke those spirits. Shut up. Turn around. Seek the kingdom of God that is within you. Clean out your own house before you are devoured by the beast that lives within you. We'll be back. The Keys of the Kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do. to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're talking about the unholy spirits of the world. And the unholy spirits of the world are all those spirits that want dominion over the world. And they get that by getting dominion over you. And they get that by you making covenants with them. And then you make covenants with them because you have a covetous nature in your heart that desires the benefits of Babylon. What is Babylon? It's Nimrod. Nimrod was a mighty provider instead of the Lord. And so we create governments and we call those governments benefactors. And we ask those governments to exercise authority one over the other so that we will be secure. Or we operate according to the Spirit of Christ and we live by faith and we live by hope and we live by love of one another, which means we cannot forsake the gathering together. We need to gather together and do this. But we are babes in the kingdom. We do not know the ways of the kingdom, because brutish pastors have said it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods as long as you do it through government. You're just supposed to come here and tithe, and then we will make you feel good about all the wickedness and evil that your government does, or that you do. And they'll do that lots of ways. They'll say, oh, look over here how bad these people are, how wicked these people are. You're not that wicked. You're good. Surely you will not die because you believe. They have one vain philosophy after another, but they are bearing the fruit of bondage. And as we read in Isaiah 19:3, that the spirit of Egypt shall fail, just as Jesus said, the unrighteous mammon shall fail. What is the unrighteous mammon? It is the spirit of Egypt. It is the entrusted wealth where you are part of the treasury, where you are a resource, where you are merchandise stacked up in the treasury of the world, because you failed to take care of the needy of society by faith, hope, and charity. Many of you have failed to even take care of your own families and provide for your families. And you justify this in all sorts of ways. We need to stop that. We need to turn around from that. We need to see it. We need to turn away from that and turn towards the light and become givers of life. And stop listening to the beast within us that says it's okay to devour one another, to betray one another, to lie to one another, to use one another for our own selfish purposes. We have to be willing to fast from that and stand in the righteousness of Christ. Not put it on from outside with rules and regulations and ideas and stuff like that, but actually be what Christ said to be that doer. Because you love doing that. You can't do anything else but that. In Isaiah 28:6, it says, and the spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. We become the spirit of judgment when Christ lives in us. We don't have to do anything. We don't judge. We let Christ judge. We just walk into the room. We just be in the presence of Christ And where we go, we bring light. And evil does not like that light. And it will mumble and grumble and growl and do all sorts of things. But each of us needs to become a brighter and brighter light. And you cannot do that unless you see the darkness of your own heart. Isaiah 29:10, the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath been covered. That's what's happened. This is why you have all those pastors that do not know the weightier matters. But it's because you really have, deep down in your heart, rejected God as judge. You've wanted to judge yourself. You wanted to rule yourself. And you didn't want to accept the truth. And you went whoring after the lie. And anyone who would confirm the lie in you. In any way that you can confirm the lie in you and justify yourself instead of become righteous. Isaiah 47, the grass withereth, the flowers fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. They are not trees. They are grass. And they will wither and they will be burned up by the billions. Because they didn't prepare, or because they would not let the Holy Spirit into their lives. They would not repent. They would not sacrifice their... Oh, they would... You know, there are... We've seen the shows. What was it? I can't even remember the name of the show. But, you know, the it was after the book, The Holy Grail and all this stuff. The Da Vinci Codes. And... I can't even, now that I finally figured out the name, I forgot where I was going. But anyway, you know, we're so deceived. We're so many. Oh, the monk in there who was, you know, punishing himself and whipping himself, and he was what is that, sadomasochism? He actually liked, you know, punishing himself and whipping himself and making himself bleed and making himself sore and make, you know, because this is a way to justify. That pain was better than the pain that dwelled in his own heart, the wickedness that dwelled in his own heart. He would kill, he would murder, he would do anything for the spirit that dwelled in him and spoke to him through the other spirits that were dwelled in those around about him. And the pain helped him. Was he would rather have that pain than see. You know, it's like I say, turning up the radio, turning up, you know, taking drugs. Pain is a drug. You see, everything is about either you're going to the light or you're escaping from the light. And so you can be a sadomasochist. You could be a masochist. You could cause pain to others. You know, cutters, they cut themselves. And they feel life, even though they feel it draining from them. Because that is better to them than seeing the truth about themselves. That pain is easier than facing the darkness in your own hearts. The wickedness that has gotten in there because you wanted to judge others. This is not an intellectual journey. This is a spiritual journey. Isaiah 40:13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? Do you teach what you've been taught? Then what you teach is the fruit of the Spirit that you are listening to. What you do is the spirit of that, is the life of that spirit and the death of the spirit that you are listening to. God is a giver of life, not of death. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of humble, and to receive the heart of the contrite ones. You need to humble yourself and realize you can't figure this out. You cannot pluck the tree of knowledge clean and know the truth, no matter how much you take from that tree. You must submit yourself to the tree of life with repentance, and then God will fill you in His time. You must wait upon Him. Isaiah 59:19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Do you want to be that standard? Then you must win the battle in your own heart. And you cannot win it with your strength. You're not that tough. You can win it when you are the humble. To revive the spirit of the humble. That's what Christ is seeking to do. And by the way, to be humble, nothing more humbling than to be of service, to wash the feet of those who you have trampled upon, to serve those who you have neglected. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. The bars that bind us is our unforgiveness, our lack of mercy, our lack of love and patience for others, our self-serving instead of serving others. Christ did not come to serve himself or to be serviced by others. Christ came to serve others. And that humility and that contrite spirit of righteousness. Isaiah 61:3 went on to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and oil of joy for mourning, garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Are you a tree of righteousness? Or are you just a big stump standing upright with no leaves upon you? The Spirit of God is within you, but you must look to that Spirit of God, and not the spirit of wickedness that repeateth sin generation upon generation. If we go down to Isaiah 63:14, the beast goeth down into the valley of the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. But as the beast goeth down, death cometh, rot cometh, unrighteousness cometh, and unrighteousness begets unrighteousness. Only the spirit of righteousness, the spirit of God's righteousness, giveth life. Jeremiah 51:11, make bright the arrow, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of Medes, for his device is against Babylon, to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Are you the temple of the Lord? Then you must clean out the evil spirits that are within you. You must face them with the light, the candle that God has given you. And you must walk out the remainder of your days in the righteousness of God. Ezekiel 1:20. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went thither. Was their spirit to go? And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. This is part of, it goes on in verse 21, when those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up upon the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Now, anybody who reads this whole thing in Ezekiel 1:20 and 21, you will start to see that it sounds like he's talking about, you know, he talks about a wing in the front and two wings in the front and two wings in the back. And when you look up in the tail, you see this fire, and there's a crystalline dome on top with a man inside, and it rolls around on these wheels. And when it goes up in the air, the wheels go up into its belly. And this is what Ezekiel is seeing 600 years before Christ, where he was taken to a place physically and saw these spirits. And these spirits were mechanisms, machinery, that did the bidding of the spirits of the man who was in the crystal. And that man did the bidding of the spirit of he whom he was bound to. And he was able to make fire come down from heaven in the sight of man. And we see war all about us in these ways, with these lions that can belch fire and brimstone out with the sound of roaring. And it sounds like they're talking about tanks and artillery and jet aircraft, with the sound of many waters as it goes by. I mean, you read it. Go read it. Ezekiel 1:20, the whole thing. Even before verse 20. And this is a prophecy of something he saw. And it fits remarkably well with what we see every day. But the key is not the fact that he sees the mechanism. It's the spirit that is operating through those mechanisms. We have unbelievable weapons today that are being made all over the world and sent all over the world. I talked to somebody who makes bullets the other day. I happened to just run into him in the store. He worked for Nosler, and he told about the millions and millions of bullets they make every day and are shipped all over the world. And we know that there are governments who have contracts to suddenly buy up all the bullets. I just actually heard this morning that a neighbor lady who went to buy bullets for her rifle that she shoots coyotes with could not find the caliber or bullet that she needs anywhere in any of the stores that normally had stocks and socks of them. War is coming because the beast is ruling in the world. Millions will die. There is only one defense, and that is the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Because when the Spirit of God dwells in you, they cannot harm you. Even if they kill you, they will not harm you, and you will simply fight evil in another dimension, because you will be with God and you will live on in His righteousness. And planes will drop from the sky if they come against you. And you need no mechanism, because you do not fight the mechanism. You stand against the spirit of evil that dwelleth in the crystalline dome on top of the mechanism. You, like Gideon's army, will open up the vases of your own hearts, and it will confound them and confuse them. The battle is already begun. It is a spiritual war. If you are to be one of the soldiers of Christ, you must win the battle within your own hearts. And you do not have the power to win that battle. Only Christ does. And you must take His candle, His light, into the dark recesses of your temple and clean it out. Christ warns when He cast out the demons, unless you change, worse demons will come in and make a home in you than already are there. The world you see around you, the collapsing of systems, the collapsing of economies, is the result of the spirit that dwelleth in you, not the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is what we see as the product of that spirit that dwelleth within the people. Most of the people will not receive the Holy Spirit. Those that should come to the wedding feast are not coming. So God says, take anybody who will come, the good and the bad, and gather together at the wedding feast, each of you at your own core, at your own congregation of record, your own table within the wedding feast, and pray that God dwell in you. For when the Master cometh in you, he will bind up the wicked and throw them back out into the utter darkness. And the evil of the world will be no match for the light that dwelleth in you. You need other people to do this with, because you need other people to forgive, including the bad that come to your table and the wicked that come to your table. You need to forgive them so that ye may be forgiven. When you give in righteousness, you strengthen the poor. No matter, you can give the same dollar to the poor, the same food, the same bowl of soup to the poor, but give it in unrighteousness and you will weaken them. But if you give it in the Spirit of Christ in righteousness, and the problem, you will strengthen him, or you will drive him away, because he will be bound by your righteousness. It's not your righteousness, though. Again, I have to correct myself, but the righteousness of Christ dwelling in you. But it becomes yours because Christ wants to give it to you. He wants you to have dominion back. You don't have dominion now. Others have dominion over you and within you. And in Ezekiel 10:17, he says, when they stood, these stood, and when they were lifted up, these lifted up themselves also, with the spirit of the living creatures was in them. The Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak, thus saith the Lord, and thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. In our minds, there are things that are coming that are not of God. But if you turn around and repent, the light of God will see those things and expose them and drive them out. You need to meditate upon the Lord. You need to be still and let him come into your heart and into your mind. Daniel faced evil, but at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, small g, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, again small g, and before him I told the dream, saying. This whole thing, they talk about these other spirits speaking to you in dreams. Now we know that God sometimes speaks to, like Joseph, you know, the husband to Mary, in a dream for righteousness. People talk about, you know, listening to angels today, and people say, oh, new age. You know, they had their magicians and astrologers and amongst the Chaldeans and soothsayers. But there are those that are of Christ too. There are angels that we should see. But how do you know the difference between the two? Are they binding you up or setting you free? Are they setting you free to do righteousness, or are they setting you free to do unrighteousness? You read Daniel 5:11 through 5:14, and you'll see how there's always this war in the spirit between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of the world. And you're going to need to put on that full armor of the kingdom of God, and that means that you're going to have to look within your own heart and clean out that temple to make yourself a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. My people ask counsel, and that counsel must be of Christ. Until we meet again, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you, and may the Holy Spirit dwell within you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hislake.org. www.hisholychurch.net.
Thank you.